when did you decide that you wanted to seek selection as Lib Dem candidate for this seat?
Well, the Lib Dems were very far-sighted and were the only party that really prepared for the eventuality of a snap general election. So what they did is, last autumn in 2016, select a whole slate of candidates in many of our top seats around the country. And it was at that point I put my name forward. So I was actually selected as the prospective parliamentary candidate here from last autumn.
And how much did Brexit play into your drive to be the candidate here as against other issues and your general political take on the world?
Oh, it's fundamental, really. You know, I campaigned for a Remain result in the referendum, obviously was hugely proud of the result that we managed to achieve here in Lambeth, but bitterly, bitterly disappointed about the result we got across the country. And seeing our representative campaign on our behalf with Nigel Farage, to me, was just unacceptable. And not just that, you know, once we had the referendum result, and once there could be absolutely no doubt in anyone's mind whatsoever what the views of the people of Lambeth was, to then carry on and to vote with UKIP in the House of Commons on key issues such as the rights of EU citizens who live in our area, I thought was just unacceptable. And it was at that point I realised that I had to stand and try and change that.
And you've pushed Kate Hoey's stance on Europe in a big way, understandably, but yet no one can say that her views about the EU were a surprise, and it's only 2 years since she was last elected with an increased majority. Doesn't that show that actually people in Vauxhall value other things above the European issue in their representative?
Well, I think Europe wasn't really an issue for many people until the referendum last year, and I think that many people thought Kate's views on Europe were a kind of idiosyncrasy and didn't really matter, and then they saw during a referendum campaign just how much they did matter, and many people are deeply, deeply angry about how she has behaved on this issue. And it's not just about the Leave issue here, it's also about, you know, people's views of political representation. You know, it's one thing to go and vote Leave, you know, many people did vote Leave, and including, you know, 25% almost of the people living in this community. But to campaign in the way she did with UKIP and Nigel Farage, which was something that even other Leave campaigners couldn't bring themselves to do, when we have our community here, which is very pro-Remain, and which many people find the style of politics that UKIP practiced to be offensive, was just not acceptable.
And there's been a certain sense of outrage that's been portrayed amongst some people locally on the Remain side, not just Lib Dems. But yet, a referendum is just that. It means that Kate Hoey's vote in the referendum was worth exactly the same as your vote and my vote. Why does it matter so much?
Well, it matters for two reasons. The first reason is that because of the Gina Miller case in the Supreme Court, the UK Parliament had to decide on triggering Article 50. And it also gave Parliament the opportunity to look at a broader set of questions than just the in-out question. You know, it gave Parliament the opportunity to set some guidelines for the government about how they're going to negotiate. And in that process, which was the Brexit bill, the Article 50 bill, the Labour Party put down a series of amendments which was there to try and kind of put some boundaries on the government and how they would negotiate Brexit, boundaries that many people, including myself, would agree with, protecting the rights of EU citizens, stopping the UK from becoming a tax haven after we left the European Union, making sure that the commitment by the Leave side to give extra funding, £350 million a week to the NHS, was abided by. And yet our representative, Kate Hoey, in Parliament, acting on our behalf as our representative, voted against all of those things, voted against the Labour Party whip and with UKIP. So then, so it's not just about the referendum. The second thing I would say is that now that we have started the Article 50 process, whether we like it or not, and trust me, I don't like this, we are now going to have to negotiate an exit deal, and that is going to dominate politics for the next 2 years. You know, the referendum deal last year only answered one question: does the country want to remain or stay? It did not answer what kind of leave deal we wanted. It didn't answer how we're going to continue to guarantee our rights, how we're going to continue to guarantee environmental rights. All of those are questions that have to be worked through, and our members of parliament are going to be fundamental to that debate. They're going to be our voice in that debate. So for me, it would be just simply wrong to have an MP in that debate who didn't agree with the vast majority of the views of her constituents.
Now, you've attracted a lot of publicity during your campaign because of Kate Hoey's your stance on Brexit and your very different stance. And just across the river from Westminster, it's understandable people gravitate here to see what the contest's about. But you're up against someone who is quite well known, has had some ministerial experience, has a fairly high national recognition factor, but people may not have come across you before. Who is George Turner, and what qualifies you to be Vauxhall's next Member of Parliament, potentially?
Well, I've lived in our area for around 7 years, and in that time I have actually been an active member of our community campaigning mainly on the affordable housing issue here. I, in 2011, led a campaign over the former Fire Brigade headquarters site at 8 Albert Embankment, a campaign which was very well covered in the SE1 website. And that was to prevent that building from being turned into exclusive luxury flats, which would also have massively damaged the neighbouring council estate. And we won that campaign. I also then took the Shell Centre decision, the decision to grant planning permission to the redevelopment of the Shell Centre, which again, 800 luxury flats, but also damage to neighbouring properties and also demolishing publicly accessible open spaces that we much love on the South Bank. Took that to court, ended up losing that fight, but again managed to raise the issue of luxury housing on the South Bank. And so I've been somebody who's been campaigning a lot on the issues that matter in Vauxhall.
And clearly, given the pressure of development both in Waterloo and around Vauxhall, it's a huge issue for local people. If you were the MP here, how would you raise those issues of how those large-scale developments relate to existing communities? How would you press those issues in Parliament?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that a lot of the things that are happening here are not a cost to government, right? You know, it's about regulation, it's about the decisions that people like Lambeth Council makes, and they're essentially free, right? They're not something that's affected by the impact of the cuts. And what has happened is the behaviour of Lambeth Council has been utterly disgraceful, in my view. You know, you've had council officers flying to Mippin in Cairns in order to cut deals with luxury developers over our community, and that being funded by the development community, which is just an extraordinary conflict of interest. Now, you know, I can't stop Lambeth Council from doing that, because as the MP I won't be in control of Lambeth Council, but what I can do is try and persuade the government to change the laws around these issues, because I just think some of the behaviour of the way that these council officials conduct themselves is unacceptable and should be criminal if it's not already.
You're mounting probably the biggest Lib Dem campaign in this seat for many a year, the biggest challenge to Labour that's been mounted here for a long time. But yet, despite all of the excitement around the Brexit issue, you look back at last time and the Liberal Democrats were in fourth place with a pretty desultory share of the vote. Isn't the fact that you've got an impossible mountain to climb, and you'll be very lucky to put even a dent in Kate Hoey's position?
It's a mountain to climb. That's definitely true, but it's not an impossible mountain to climb. You know, if elections were decided on the basis of previous results, there'd be absolutely no point in holding elections. We did very poorly in 2015, but in this borough we have traditionally been the main opposition. We came strong second in 2010, 2005. So the default position here is for the Lib Dems to be in second place and strong challengers. On top of that, the world changed from the 2015 general election. The political makeup of our country has completely been reorientated. And we have seen in past elections surprise results. You know, red car for the Lib Dems in 2010, where you came from nowhere to take that seat. So I think it is a mountain to climb, but it is an achievable mountain to climb if we work hard until polling day.
And you've mentioned your campaigning experience, you've mentioned your experience on those development and planning and housing topics, but I notice your biography online and what you've said to me today doesn't mention your past political experience as well. There's often criticism of people who've worked in the political system, who've worked for MPs and then seek election themselves. Are you confident that you've got experience outside the bubble of that level of political life that to bring to bear as an effective representative?
So I used to work for Simon Hughes, the Lib Dem Member of Parliament in for Southwark and Old Southwark and Bermondsey. I did that for about 3.5 years. I'm very proud of that experience. But, you know, at the end of the day, what I want to talk about in this election campaign is the issues that matter to people in our community. And I think, you know, my work history working in Parliament isn't an issue that really people care about. You know, it might be something that people think, oh, he's got some experience of knowing his way around Westminster, but, you know, that's not really what matters to people's day-to-day lives. As a part of my broader experience, you know, I did leave that job and I've since been campaigning. I've been working as a campaigner and researcher for the Tax Justice Network, an organisation that seeks to end tax havens and campaign against tax havens. I set up a not-for-profit organisation with a colleague of mine to help journalists from around the world investigate multinational corporations, and have been an investigative journalist and publishing things in papers around the world and which have hit the front pages here on the housing issues. So I do think I do have a broad range of experience which would help me in this role. But again, you know, I don't think this election is about me. It's about the issues that matter to people. It's about getting a representative that represents the values of people who live here.
Now, you mentioned Gina Miller's name. You've been supported by the organisation that she leads. You've also had some other people who you wouldn't necessarily expect to see campaigning for the Liberal Democrats, like Rachel Johnson, out on the campaign trail with you. Tell us a bit about the variety of people other than your traditional Lib Dem activists who've been supporting your campaign here, and why do you think they've rallied to the cause?
So this has been an amazing thing about this campaign here on Lower Marsh, is that we, you know, 6-7 weeks ago, we were preparing to fight council elections in 2018. So obviously that implies a level of activity much lower than 5 weeks before a general election. And then the general election was called, and we just got this amazing influx of people who wanted to help the campaign. And they were people not just from Vauxhall, though many people do come from Vauxhall, but also Labour members from around the city, around London, who do not believe that our current MP represents Labour values with her associations with UKIP and Nigel Farage. We've had people who are traditionally Conservative supporters who feel very passionately about the European Union help our campaign. We've had people who've never been involved in politics at all before come in and help our campaign. You know, just the other day, somebody came in, their first political act was to sit here and stuff 1,000 envelopes all day. And the other thing that's been really positive, it's been a hugely youthful campaign. Now, most of the people who have volunteered are under the age of 35, are getting involved in politics in the first time, and they've been infused by this campaign. So it's been a really wonderful experience.
And as a final question, Brexit aside, while you've been on the campaign trail, what topic has come up that's most surprised you? What's the biggest issue in Vauxhall that you didn't expect to be hearing about from people?
That's a great question. I don't think I can think of anything that's really... You know, there has been... Brexit has come up a lot, but also the housing issue, the redevelopment of the South Bank, lots of local issues, but again, you know, you wouldn't expect... They weren't unexpected, so they're things that have been happening over a long time. The closure of the libraries, people bring up, particularly people who live around the Menet Library in Vassal, and around Waterloo. The RuPaul Street development has been an issue that's come up. The EF language schools, like that is. So, yeah, people do bring up all sorts of local issues as well as national issues. I don't think there's anything really that's been really surprising. I'll get back to you if I think of anything.